Bearded. Bowman.
Welcome back. I am your host, the Bearded Bowman. If you're listening to this, I would hope you understand that this whole episode is tailored to the wonderful experience that I had at the AMY Exchange 2022. And let me say that this has always been a bucket list item for me, and to actually have gotten to experience it not only through the Bearded Biomed lens, but going back to my hometown where I grew up, San Antonio, Texas, was really special for me. I would like to thank Danielle, Brian, the whole AMY team for allowing me the opportunity to come there and a media aspect and allow me to record, walk around, talk to people, because that's obviously what I do. The entire experience was really honestly memorable, and I'll always hold that years and years from now, look back on that fondly. So thank you to the AMY team. You put on one hell of a conference, and it was the energy, the passion, the positivity that was just surging inside that hall was something I think everybody kind of tapped into. As you listen through the episode, you're going to hear multiple people that I've spoken to while I was walking around live, mic'd up, handing people little microphones and just talking to them about what they're doing, what they're bringing to the table. There's a lot of interesting and really innovative technology that was showcased at that show, some for the first time ever. And getting to meet a lot of the listeners of the podcast was really special for me as well. I am not who I am today with this podcast without you, my listeners. So for everybody that listens, that I got to meet, that either we've conversed online through LinkedIn or shared posts or Instagram, TikTok, what have you, it was absolute pleasure getting to meet you guys. You know, throwing some Bearded Bowman merch at you, getting to talk to you, really just share interesting anecdotes here and there. I finally got to meet up with Justin Better Biomed after, you know, not getting to see him in MD Expo. And if you stay tuned at the end of the episode, I say Better Biomed for last. Justin, I actually hand him the microphone, let him take the reins, and we do one final walkthrough of the show, really bouncing off of each other. The camaraderie, the energy, the discussions were just incredible. So stay tuned if you're a Better Biomed fan. He had a lot of good, interesting things that he wanted me to. He literally dragged me across the floor to point out a couple key things that if you watch his YouTube channel, you would obviously know that he had some best in show. And I would absolutely agree with him. There's some incredible things that OEMs, biomed programs, test equipment developers are really bringing to the table. There was just so much to take in. And unfortunately, I wish I could speak to every single person, every single booth at that expo. But the Henry B. Gonzalez Center, if you're familiar with San Antonio, is absolutely massive. So I got what I can. The beginning aspect of the expo was really cool. So there was the Friday night cocktail. Everybody just kind of meets up, you know, they cut the ribbon. We all register. It was really awesome. But the day one floor experience, the first thing I did was go to the opening keynote address from Pamela Arora, president of AMY, along with her keynote panel, a discussion about the future of the HDM industry. She shared some very personal experiences, a lot of really good senior insight brought to the discussion from everyone at that panel. So along with the final AMY party at the end was really cool. We went to the Hard Rock Cafe, fireball shots, beer, tequila. Yeah, I kind of lost count, honestly, of how much I consumed, but you know, that's fine. I can hold my liquor and we did fine. So it was really awesome. I guess after you listen to everything, if there's one thing you could take from this is I highly encourage you to make it out to an AMY conference. It's worth it. It's an experience like no other. The information shared, the networking, business deals, camaraderie, the sheer impact of what the AMY conference brings is really worth it. I hope you enjoy, and may the beard be with you.
All right. So first booth I walked up to is my co-host booth, 24/7 Magazine. Carrie, finally to meet you in person.
It's so good to meet you, too. I feel like we know each other, but, you know, never meeting in person, not having Amy in person for 3 years. It's good to actually have FaceTime.
Yeah, this is my first Amy Expo, too. So
my
very first one.
Okay.
Yeah, Bearded Biomed making a landing. Exactly.
Yeah, you got your swag.
And of course, we got Seth here, too. It's a pleasure to meet you, sir. We are all subscribers, obviously, to 24/7 Magazine, and, you know, I've read it since my military days, and even though I'm, doing a little thing with our podcast together, I'm still going to continue reading it. I see here on the table we got a buyer's guide. Y'all want to talk about that a little bit?
I think Seth should talk about that because he actually does more with the buyer's guide than me.
Sure, not a problem. So the buyer's guide is great because a lot of benefit for advertisers and brands that want to promote to our audience, not only through print, but through the podcast, through programmatic, through web banners. There's a whole bunch of other opportunities, exciting opportunities that 24/7 offers. I'd be happy to speak with anybody about it at any time.
Of course, it's not just the 24/7 podcast, it's the MedCorp Podcast Network. And there has been a plethora of episodes just coming out of, you know, what y'all are putting out. How's been the reception of...
You know, I don't actually always look at the metrics, but we have a marketing manager that does. And he said he's been so surprised in a great way, which is how much the MedTech audience has embraced the podcast. And I think it's because with the MedCorp Podcast Network, it's not just about HTM. It's lots about hearing and sleep and just all kinds of allied health. And I personally want another brand, too, called Plastic Surgery Practice. So, you know, we even have plastic surgery-based issues that come with the MedCorp Podcast Network. So, yeah, it's basically a one-stop shop for all healthcare topics. And it's been really interesting and honestly really fun to do. I love it.
I like listening to the different aspects of the medical field too, because you get all different kind of realms of, you know, what you might not expect. Just
completely.
Some of it's over my head sometimes, but that's okay. That's not my area of expertise, but it's kind of cool because y'all are making almost an ecosystem for everybody to collaborate with and hear other people's perspectives on their niche in the industry. So that's something unique that you guys are doing. Yep. And, you know, I enjoy being part of the MedCorp family.
Yeah,
so I'm glad I made that email out to you and say, hey, let's do something together.
Yeah.
And we should have an episode coming up here soon for anyone that is listening. So, you know, those have not stopped. I just had to recalibrate the beard and take a little vacation. So trimmed it, made it feel nice and pretty again. So. So I also see here we have Inside Amy's BMed Apprenticeship Program, which obviously we've had Danielle on your podcast and had her on mine talking about it. I like that, you know, y'all have a resource here for it. So is there anything that maybe 24/7 or MedCorp has coming down the pipeline that we could get a sneak peek for? Or?
Yeah, I mean, definitely check our editorial calendar out that's online, but we'd stay really close with those cover stories so that you'll... July, August cover story will be about equipment disposition best practices. So I know my associate editor is working on that right now. And basically what companies should do when they have equipment that's no longer needed. And, you know, we all are trying to be as environmentally friendly as possible. So you don't want to fill it up.
Yeah, we don't want to waste. Why? We want to make sure that it still is useful and obviously operational.
Yeah.
But there's so many different people that could utilize it. Maybe someone that can't afford the latest and greatest donation, you know, third world countries, the mercy ships often will. I mean, there's so many different avenues for this. And I'm looking forward to reading that as well.
Yeah, and mercy ships is here. Actually, I want to go talk to them. So we've done some stuff with them in the past, but that's
what I want to podcast. I'm excited for this issue. This is in my realm of what I like to hear about. So. Yeah, I'm glad I finally got to meet my co-host in person and not on a Zoom call. hopefully there'll be many more meetups in the future. And Seth, it's been a pleasure to meet you too, sir.
Thanks, Chase.
All right. All right, y'all. So I'm at the Sodexo booth right now, joined by Christopher. If you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, letting the listeners know what you got going on.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I'm Chris Faulkner. I'm the director of cybersecurity for Sodexo HTM. And we're just excited to be here at AIME back in person talking to people about all of the great HTM services we offer, a big part of which is cybersecurity. So we all heard from the keynote.
That was really, really good. I loved all their takes on it.
Right. The Joint Commission, CMS, they're all talking about cybersecurity. You know, it's a part of HTM now, right? And that's part of our philosophy, too, is it's not an optional thing. Cybersecurity is here. It's here to stay. We have solutions to that, right? It's not a problem that can't be solved. So we're excited to be coming up with some of those solutions at Sodexo to help our customers and the healthcare industry as a whole really get ahead of some of these cybersecurity risks.
Right. I really enjoyed, you know, some of the takes that he had on it, especially, you know, we all know that the risks are here. The idea now is to implement strategies to effectively combat it. And that could involve either doing through partnerships with other cybersecurity teams to facilitate that. The days of the biomed and the IT feuding with each other are not going to yield any positive result for our patients. So those walls have to be broken down. This involves, you know, being part of the strategic planning, getting relationships with the C-suite, letting people know that you're there, what your needs are. And then as the HTM industry needs to recognize too, you know, we're starting to put our newer generation into, you know, IT training, you know, familiarization with networking interfaces. And as people that are in my role or seniors and even, you know, those coming into the field, at some point you're going to need some kind of IT training, whether you want to go after your M+, S+, CIS, it's here, people. We got to recognize it. And, you know, I would love to see what your take is on it. Is Sodexo partnering, or do you also see the need to start training and hiring people as biomeds to also take on that role to do, you know, network security as well?
That's a good question. And it's both, right? It has to be both. I love what you said about needing to partner with IT and information security, network services. Cybersecurity is a great opportunity for us to have those conversations. So whether you've got a great partnership with IT, maybe it's been a strenuous or a difficult partnership with IT, they want to know, how do we solve the problem of cybersecurity for med devices? So if we come to the table with answers and a willingness to partner with them and say, as a team, let's figure out, where do we want to set the bar? What are our priorities? What are the things we want to invest in now? And what does that need to look like over the next 5 years to really grow those capabilities? It's a really cool opportunity to start to break down some of those barriers with IT, because now we're really talking their language, right?
Well, yeah. A lot of that's the biggest barrier we face is communication with IT, because while we may be thinking the same thing, the lingo for that same aspect could be completely different. You know, IT is trying to navigate regular computer networks, hospital interfaces. It's completely different when you start getting into special modality interfaces and what they call for as well. You know, I remember I was just, we sent a Connex vital signs monitor back out to Welch Allyn because it needed to have a board replaced. They sent it back. All of the interface for the network was completely, you know, set the factory reset because they have to do that. That's just part of their program. And then when I get it to the hospital, I can't find the IT guy to tell me what the passphrase is for it to ping and talk to the network. But I've already gone and done my due diligence of finding out what the SSID tag was. And
starting from scratch.
Right. So we got to get more familiar, even as ISOs. It's especially difficult for ISOs to have relationships with each individual medical facility, you know, because IT, while some hospitals might have a built-in IT department, a lot of these hospital systems, some of the ones I take care of, like in rural America, you know, they're outsourcing that through another company, so they don't have an on-site presence. And that's the challenge I think we also need to face, is how do we establish that chain of communication when we have two third-party solutions taking care of a hospital
How do we link up that communication and make it effective?
And that is one of the first questions we ask when we sit down with the IT department, with the hospital leadership, is we say, you know, what do we want to solve? And also, how do we work together, right? What is that communication structure? Because that's going to help us not only on the day-to-day stuff, but when there is a cyber event or there's a new vulnerability that we need to get ahead of, we need to coordinate. Having that, those team agreements is kind of how I think of it, right? How are we going to shake hands? How are we going to communicate? What are the expectations we have of each other? Again, cybersecurity is a really cool opportunity to push that conversation that I think benefits HTM even broader than just cybersecurity.
I think you hit it on the nail on the head, man.
Yeah, it's exciting times.
It's exciting, but also prevalent times. We got to be ready, man. It's here. It's not going anywhere. It's only going to get more ramped up, especially with adversaries, you know, terrorist level attacks.
State funded, yeah.
Right.
Yep. State-sponsored,
yeah. Like you said, the guy in the basement trying to do some little ransomware attack is kind of gone. It's state warfare almost to this point. You got to kind of consider this with like a military aspect. Like, how can we strategically defend our hospital systems?
Well, and it's even getting easier now to access, even for the amateur, right? We call them script kiddies, which is kind of the person in the basement with the hoodie on, right? But that still does present some threat, because with the dark web, and not even dark web in some cases, it's really easy to get our hands on some of this malicious code. And with the click of a button and a Python program, we can execute remote code, right? A lot of the highest criticality vulnerabilities we've seen over the past few months are all about remote code execution, right? Backdoors, ways to get into the device, simple, easily exploitable doors, you know, into these devices that are, can be shut, but we just need to have a strategy to really get ahead of that.
I like it. Hey, you look busy. Hey,
yeah,
appreciate
sure. you
meeting
so
with me.
All right.
Sodexo, Christopher, take care, sir.
So I don't know about y'all, but I really enjoyed that conversation. I mean, I'll talk biomed all day long, especially if it's at the benefit of, you know, networking and coming up with solutions to create better practices. Let's see what booth we can find next. How's it going, gentlemen?
How are you? Danny Martinez. I know who you are.
Okay.
The bearded biomed.
Bearded biomed. Nice to meet you.
You're with Isabel, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. So I would love just to hear about your company. You know, give us a little background on us. Surgical microscope specialist. You know, if you'd love to tell the audience a little bit about yourselves, what you do.
Yeah, so my name is Danny Martinez. I am the South Texas rep for Prescott Surgical Microscopes. What we do is specialize in ENT, ophthalmology, endodontics, spine, neuro, only surgical microscopes. We are an ISO-certified third party. We're able to repair, place, sell, service any single surgical microscope on this planet Earth. We're in hospital systems nationwide. We're actually international. We've got accounts in the UK as well. That's what we do.
Awesome. So there's been multiple circumstances where some of the customers I take care of, especially like, let's say, Zeiss microscopes, or, you know, a lot of this stuff's proprietary. They don't make it accessible to some of us. Do y'all have relationships with the OEMs to facilitate that need, or?
We don't, but the software, we are able to access on the software. Now, the stuff that is proprietary as far as adding software or something to certain pieces of equipment, that has to go through the OEM. We can't add anything. But if it's already on the system, we're absolutely able to service that.
Okay, see, that's awesome, because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we can deliver care as quickly as possible to the, you know, these machines being down. Because, I mean, this is a critical piece of equipment within our medical facilities. And I've had circumstances to where we didn't really have a solution. I believe we've reached out to y'all once or twice before, you know, to assist us and, you know.
Just at Otto Kaiser, Will Green.
Yeah.
SPPS uses us here in South Texas for sure.
Yeah, you guys have really been a major help, at least in the Central Texas area, as far as I know of, with really helping us get our customers back and running so they can deliver optimal care.
That's one of the biggest fortes of Prescott's, is that, you know, if you go through the OEM, and me being biomed, my history, I've used Dice, I've used Leica. but I need a $3,000 PO up front. And it's going to take me 2 weeks to get there for a field service engineer to get there. With Prescott's, I live right here in town. If I need to be in the valley, I'll drive there right now, 4 hours away. I'll get there.
And that's kind of the catch-22 when you compare ISO service to OEM service is response time, availability, part sourcing. I mean, there's a whole mess that, you know, we all go into the industry about talking about it.
That's the product that we deliver as well. Is that
right?
You know, when I go down there, I'll go down there. I don't need money from you. I'll show up. I'll check in with Biomed. Say, hey, what do you need me to do? I'll write you up my service report. Here's what needs to be done. Boom. Don't worry about me coming out there. I want myself out there more than Sice, more than Mike. I want Danny Martinez, the face of Prescott, to be in every single hospital system, every single clinic, every single surgery set. I don't mind doing that. And that's something that sets us apart from you.
Yeah. That's the kind of service that customers appreciate. You know, at the end of the day, we want to make sure we get the equipment operational, fix as quick as possible, so they're not ringing the Biomed's neck.
Minimize downtime.
Exactly. So, just curious, how long y'all been operational?
We started in 1984.
Okay, so you're home staple at this point.
We're doing well. I mean, we're, like I said, international.
Absolutely.
Growing every year, adding more reps every year.
So what are some key areas of service you guys have?
Well, we're getting into some of the, you know, major hospital systems across the United States. We're the preferred vendor for the majority of the Biomed companies out there.
Is there any area of the United States you would say you don't cover right now, or you're all 50 states, like you need them, they're there?
Alaska, Hawaii, the UK.
Hey, you heard it here first. You got microscope issues, you got any kind of issue at all, reach out to Prescott's, because I mean, they've been around for a while, they've been doing this, they got it.
We do it all.
Yeah,
we do it all.
Hey, I appreciate y'all talking to me, man. I wish y'all continued success.
I'll tell you right now, here's my card, I follow you.
Okay, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Nate Gibbs, nice to meet you.
Just gave y'all a little promo on the show.
Cool. You guys do the podcast?
Yep, I do the Bearded Biomed podcast. So just trying to go around, get everybody a little publicity, talk about your product. So
Brad, by the way.
Chase.
Nice to meet you, Chase.
So I'm the Bearded Biomed. I run a Biomed podcast. Oh. Awesome looking booth. See a lot of recognizable equipment. So I would love to hear about SoccoMed.
Definitely. We are a medical equipment company. We are certifying medical equipment. Not all the equipment, for sure. It's a very wide range. We are more in defibrillators, electrosurgical units, anesthesia machines, also respiratory ventilators.
Okay, so I assume y'all probably either repurchase equipment, recertify it, and then get it to people that could utilize it the most. Okay.
We have certified, trained biomed in-house that when we are purchasing, you know, surpluses and non-working equipment from the hospitals or the closing down hospitals, so we're bringing in-house, we're refurbishing them, we are recertifying and selling back again to the end users.
Okay.
At the same time, we do repairs for them too. They're sending to us their equipment for repairs or for calibration. We are giving them free loaner with the free shipping until we are working on their equipment.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So then, you know,
I know that can be a little bit of a hard press sometimes with some companies. I mean, even some OEMs, they may not have a replacement to give the customer while they are currently fixing the equipment. I mean, some of this is critical life-saving equipment, and they don't have backups.
Exactly.
I mean, you take a defibrillator off a crash cart, that's taking a major capability away from, you know, patient care.
They need it to, you know, saving their lives.
So I'll say that kudos that y'all do free shipping and loaners on everything you take up.
Exactly. So we have a large inventory, you know, that we are able to provide as many as loaners they want. For example, you know, defibrillators, we have over 500 defibrillators ready in stock. Anesthesia machines, we have over 200 anesthesia machines.
So what you're saying is you got inventory.
We have inventory. Also parts in stock. So sometimes they're in back order from manufacturer.
Yes. Okay. So I'm glad you brought that up. Supply chain issues have been a prevalent issue in our industry right now, just because of, you know, worker shortages. I mean, the shipping transport, just there's been a lot of different things that are.
Exactly. Especially these days, it's very crazy.
So how have y'all been able to mitigate that, or, you know, how's it been working out for you guys? I know there have been some issues with trying to source parts. You know, for some of our, you know, medical facilities, because either the equipment's so niche, the part can only come from the manufacturer, or the equipment is so antiquated. Exactly. Good luck finding a part.
True. The good thing about us, you know, we are sourcing even outside of the U.S. During the COVID, when the respiratory ventilator, it was out of service, no one had the part, everyone in back order, so they had to bring it from Germany, from U.K. or Italy, to fulfill the order and have our, you know, American here using the respiratory ventilator to basically say, that's what I could do because we have many sources, we have many clients and suppliers overseas that we can, you know, get help from.
To put it simply, you know a guy.
Right.
Hey, I appreciate y'all talking to me. I wish y'all continued success. I like the aspect you're going into the industry with, because at the end of the day, it's patient care first, right?
Exactly. That's a priority.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
It's nice meeting you.
Good luck to y'all. Enjoy the expo. You know him, you love him. It's Rigel Medical.
How you doing, guys?
Good. You're on the show.
I am right now.
Right now.
Why don't you get out? I have Lewis Leonard here, our applications engineer.
So for you listening, you're already familiar with Rigel. We've had them on the show before. They're essentially friend of the show now. Of course, got to give y'all your props. So how are you enjoying the show?
Great show. Wonderful to get
it's,
back.
It's massive.
Andy. It's been how many years?
I think
three years for Andy. So this is a really nice, and it's great here because we have all of our military here in the area as well. So
it's my first one. I picked a good one to come to.
Absolutely.
First one since 2019 as well, isn't it?
They were saying? It's been on for a few years. Yeah. Yeah, COVID kind of put a damper on things, didn't it? So I see you guys got the entire fleet out here at the table. And of course, I've been impressed with Rigel's, you know, y'all have so many different things going with your equipment, from data capture to, you know, ease of use to portability, which has kind of been like the main thing for me. When I got equipment on my work cart, I don't want to feel like I'm lugging around 200 pounds of equipment, which some of this stuff kind of feels like sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we've discussed this. You're not going to get away with that with the ESU tester, but you don't need that every day. So
yeah. It has a little bit of issues with weight loss there. So, but our, as you can see, the defibrillator analyzer right there is just a
see that
half,
that's what I love.
Half the size of some of the
so. If you're listening, I would encourage you to look up the Rigel Unipulse 400. So we are all familiar with defibrillator analyzers and how big and clunky they can be. Of course, we want them to have all the bells and whistles to essentially capture anything we need to, pacing, you know, the slew of whatever defibrillator load might be. So what would you say, besides obviously the portability, because this thing's probably half the size of most of the defibrillator monitors on the market right now. Yeah. What other features does this have?
Well, I think the color icons are a really good feature. I'll take the best feature for me that has value over some of our competitors is the on-screen waveforms. So you can actually show the...
So there's actual displays on this screen, people, where it's showing you where to hook things up.
So if I show you the data from some of the previous tests... I think this one.
Perhaps, it has memory built into it.
So it's got
well.
This on-screen waveforms, which is more. It's a nice feature, I guess. It's better for the manufacturers so they can see the actual.
Well, because the industry is going now, especially since we're all going ISO to, you know, try to be on par with OEM requirements.
Yeah.
You know, more data is always going to be better.
Yeah.
My biggest thing with test equipment is one, portability. Second is ease of use. If I can't get a technician one to grab your piece of equipment and effectively know how to use it, then what good is it?
other key thing is longevity on battery too.
And serviceability on it, yes.
And the other thing, like he was saying, as a number of people, I hadn't noticed it, but the ability to provide the waveform that you're actually introducing into the unit is provided right there on the screen. Yeah, so you can see the waveform not only on our unit, but on the unit that you're putting into.
Yeah, I do actually really like that aspect, because a lot of the ones that we have and that we utilize in my company, it just shows you the joule output. And I'm still walking around with that, the wooden box one. You know which one I'm talking about. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, it works, but...
50 ohms is 50 ohms, right?
I do wish we had... I was walking around one of these instead.
All right.
So, just curious, what does the Unipulse go for, you know, retail?
A little bit over $4,000.
Okay, so, yeah, we're going park.
Sandy, we're there, so... Good unit. We've got nothing but fantastic reviews of it. And we've been featured. We just were recently featured on a column in Tech Nation on it as well. So, you know, it's been really jumping off the page for us. And we have a few new products coming out soon. So that's what I.
You know, okay, that's what I like. New bells and whistles. I got you.
We'll leave you with that. But there is some new stuff coming out.
Awesome. So I guess the only thing that really caught my eye. It's that little box over there on the edge.
Okay, that's our Citrix H5 ventilator analyzer, which actually has the ability, you're talking about the black.
Yes, sir.
So it also has the ability to do agent identification as well when it's connected to the OR703, which makes it a complete anesthesia and
That's awesome.
And then we also have the desktop version of it called the vent test that's sitting behind it. But that's the desktop version of the same thing, but and also can do anesthetic agent analyzer too.
Now you've kind of got a combination of the two with the Pro. Yeah.
So, yeah, okay.
The Citrix is very small and compact, and you can go, I mean, the kit of it is just throw it in your suitcase and go.
Yeah. People, this device is literally the width of your cell phone. It's small. Again, Rigel is innovative, it's portable, it's user-friendly. So, and what kills me is that a lot of people don't realize you guys have been around for a long time. Yep. How many years now has Rigel been going? 40 years. Yeah. So I really hope that you guys, you know, start getting into the U.S. market even further, because I do appreciate your, you know, what you guys are bringing to the table. This new equipment you mentioned, when might we get some announcements in the future? Next couple months, maybe?
Q4, I don't know. It's coming down the pipe.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be on the lookout.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted.
we'd like to have something by MD Expo. So let's see.
Okay. Well, if you ever want to send something to Bearded Biomed for me to review, test it out, I'm sure Justin would be more than happy as well.
You guys are great. Phenomenal.
Yeah. I appreciate y'all talking to me.
Thanks.
Enjoy the show.
Have a wonderful day.
I'm looking forward to that margarita bar later. Yeah, downstairs.
Yeah, if y'all guys haven't guessed, I do really appreciate Rigel's equipment. Of course, you always got to budget your finances for your HCM department, you know, to accommodate some of the, because obviously a lot of our shops have older equipment. And, you know, that's just because I don't think we really put the value into updating our test fleet, but it's something that every biomed department needs to consider. Let's see what booth I can find next. So listeners, I am with IMT Analytics, and of course you guys have one of the most portable sets of equipment on the market right now.
Portable and most accurate. Probably the highest quality when it comes to measuring pressures, flows, volumes, whether it's anesthesia or ventilators or oxygen concentrators, it doesn't really matter.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I think Justin Better Biomed did a review on for your Citrix, right?
This H5.
Okay.
What we have here is the Pro, the H5, and the H4. All of them are doing the same thing. I'm using one ventilator to measure through all three of them.
If you wouldn't mind, could you break down the difference between the three?
So, for the most part, it's user interface. The H4 has a more simple user interface where we have the touch buttons that let you navigate the menus.
Okay, awesome.
A bit of a smaller screen.
All touch screen. I love the waveform displays.
Yep, it has both waveforms and it has numerics. And you can have several different screens of each. Moving up from that, the H5 has a fully configurable multi-touch screen, just like your cell phone. So you can see that it's all touch screen. You can click.
And see, I like that you can actually see multiple different values
on the screen too.
Absolutely. And you can configure that any way you want to, whether you have a single one or you have just a few, you can move them around.
Okay, so he just literally touched his finger, drag and drop. You can customize your setup to work with your workflow.
Absolutely. If you want just a few parameters that are larger, easier to see, we have a screen for that.
All right.
Again, pretty much anything that you can do on your cell phone with regard to gestures, like zooming in and zooming out, you can do on our device. For example, if you're looking at a waveform, you can choose a single waveform. You can pause that. And then you can zoom in on it. And you can use the cursor to measure any point along the waveform. So you can do analysis right on the screen if you want to.
It's very simplistic. There's not all this absorbent amount of things you got to hook up to it.
No, it's very intuitive. And when it comes to actually doing testing, patient tubing on one side, some sort of test cell on the other.
Yep.
And that's your connection. You don't have to tee in pressure, oxygen. You don't have to hook up a bunch of different things. You know, device under test on one side, test cell on the other. You're good.
Right.
Looks all of our devices are set up that way.
I've always championed with test equipment that it needs to be ease of use. It needs to be adaptable. Yep. It needs to be portable. And it needs to just essentially make the biomass job easier. Because at the end of the day, we don't want all this hunky equipment on the cart. No. And, you know, I would assume most biomed programs out there, at least, you know, when I speak to ours, you know, you're going to have your ventilators on a set PM program that, you know, you're not just going to do the ventilators along with everything else within that department. They're usually going to be on their own sequestered kind of PM inspection interval. So at the end of the day, you want something that's you can just hook up, have everything ready to go, and just run through the testing on as many ventilators as you can. That way they're ready to go. They can be used for patient care, and you can move on to the next thing. So let's say, I know we're talking about a profile. In the industry, we use asset tags. So, you know, whatever your asset moniker might be for that particular unit, you can save it in as that profile, pull it up, and then I assume y'all have some kind of like data download capability for the reporting process as well.
Yeah, no problem.
We do have our PC based
full
lab software, which allows you to take data from any one of these devices, pull it into to the PC, and then create custom reports from that.
I assume PDF format.
Both PDF and CSV files are generated for both of those.
Yeah, because what I have heard is what we'll do is we'll take that, you know, that printout, that profile, or what have you, and then integrate it through, like, let's say, a document attachment into our CMMS report.
Yes, absolutely.
That way, I figure that's probably the easiest way, and it'll make all the accreditors happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And both the Pro and the 5 now have applications that are ventilator-specific. And in this case, it will walk you through the testing process on the ventilator, showing you graphically how to set it up.
Okay, see, I like that.
It will tell you how to make changes to the unit under test, the ventilator testing, and then it will actually capture the data for you and put it into a report that's formatted just like the manufacturer's format. And at the end of all this, you can sign it right on the screen. So both the H5 and the Pro.
So you know, technician who actually did it. Gotcha.
The data is collected by the device, not the technician. It's signed off, and then you save that as a PDF, and you can attach that directly to your work order.
Yeah.
So
I always say any piece of test equipment should usable by a Tech 1. Now, obviously, we're not going to have a Tech One doing ventilator PMs. I hope not.
Maybe there's some really rock stars.
But, you know, you got to figure, too, as we get older as biomeds, we also want stuff to be easier and more streamlined. I like that it's ease of use. I like that it walks you through what you need to do. It makes it pretty adaptable. So
And I mean, ultimately what's happening now in the industry is there's fewer and fewer biomeds having to take care of more and more equipment. Anything that we can do to help you gain efficiency in your job, to streamline your workflow, that's what we're trying to do.
Your spigot to the choir. I got my PMs for this month. Just three facilities, I have 900 work orders.
How do you have time to do that, right? There's not enough hours in the day, right? You need a lot of techs to do that.
So, well, luckily, I'm going to have a little help.
Yeah. I mean, if we can save you a few minutes or an hour or more per device, you know, when you times 900, things get big fast.
Exactly.
And that's a huge savings based on something fairly simple. But, you know, the easier we can make it to do the testing, the more efficient you are, the better your chances of completing all your PMs and doing them correctly. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to our call.
And I think all biomeds will agree with me to this point, too, is that we're tired of using the same outdated test equipment. I'm still walking around with stuff that was developed over 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I see that all the time.
I would highly encourage any listener, if you're in charge of the biomed finance budget for test equipment, please start investing in getting updated fleets for your technicians.
Yeah, I think it's very important.
Carlos, it's been a pleasure, sir.
It's nice talking with you.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Chris. I wish y'all continued success. If you ever want to send me one of the demo, I'd be more than happy to play with it.
We'll talk.
All right. I told you I was going to come say hi.
Oh, my gosh. With that? Is that like a microphone?
It's a microphone. Yeah, cool. You get yours, and I got mine.
Are we talking about MedWrench?
Yeah. Anything you want.
Thank you. What do you want to talk about? Do I have to talk about it, or do you just ask me questions?
Let's just assume nobody's ever heard of MedWrench before. What are y'all doing today? What's MedWrench about?
Over here at MedWrench, we have completely free accounts that people can set up, typically HTMs, biomeds, people in that industry. They're able to access the manuals for equipment they're working on completely free and other reading material. We also have another cool feature called the forums, where they can ask direct questions about equipment they're struggling
with. Which are very helpful.
Very.
I watch them all the time.
Really? Oh, I love to hear that. And then they get answers from people and gurus in the industry.
Yeah, MedWrench is kind of a really huge resource for HTMs.
Yeah, we have just over 135,000 active users. It still blows my mind how many people constantly are adding themselves to our website.
Y'all have the blogs as well, which y'all were kind enough to give me a little one. But, of course, we got your mascot, too, Ben C.
Ben C. He'll be at our fall expo. He's a little Lego guy. Love him. If anybody has a little Lego guys named Ben C., we do a Where in the World is Ben C.? And people on their vacations will submit photos, and they're entered for a contest periodically throughout the year.
So is there anything that MedWrench has in the pipeline that people might be interested to know about?
We also have been posting a lot of things. They're editorial pieces called Ask the Expert. So we have experts in the industry who, if there's something new rolling out in the industry, new equipment, new programs going on, training programs, they'll be posting about those. And they're really easy to sign up from there. It's really great information.
Yeah, if you're not following MedWrench, what are you doing? Especially if you're a biomed.
Exactly. It's completely free to use. Just set up an account on our website.
You like my little microphone?
I do. This is so cool. I feel like fairy godmother with this thing.
Yeah, everybody's like, you got a little poof ball in there. I'm like, it's for wind. It helps block out wind distortion and extra sound. You know, a little extra padding for our ears.
It makes sense. I lost my voice last week, so maybe it blocked out a little bit of the rasp in my voice.
Is it rasp or is it flavor?
Flavor.
Yeah. I'm on to the next booth at HTM Jobs.
Hi there.
Hi.
Am I being recorded?
You are.
Okay. Let's do it. So, have you heard of HTM Jobs?
Of course.
Of course. Who hasn't?
Exactly.
What do I do. I mean, give a little spiel.
Yeah, tell us about HCM Jobs. I always refer people to go to HCM Jobs. I mean, there's a lot of different avenues for, you know, people to find residents in some kind of company. But let's look at it from both aspects. So we have the biomed looking for work, but we also have the company that reaches out to you guys to post those, you know, open positions. So how does all this work?
Yeah, so I think we are a little bit more niche than your typical LinkedIn, ZipRecruiter, any kind of bigger job board. So we're specifically for the HTM industry. So anyone that posts with us is looking for biomeds, technicians, imaging professionals, and then anyone that registers with us is HTM trained. So we have a very specific talent pool. So whether you're looking for a position, we have almost 360 positions across the U.S. right now. And then we have a talent network of almost 1,800 just in a year and a half of just HCM professionals.
I like that y'all have this set up because one of my biggest gripes with LinkedIn in particular is, let's say I get reached out by a recruiter, right? And they're reaching out for me to essentially apply for a job that actually has nothing to do with biomed work.
Yep, exactly.
They see our resumes or they see our LinkedIn profiles and they're like, oh, yeah, he'd be good as a communication analyst or a plumber or an electrician or I've gotten all kinds of weird ones.
Yeah.
So this place is where you know for a fact you are applying for an HTM job.
Yep, exactly.
Hence the name.
Exactly. And on that same note, as an employer is looking for people to fill their positions, they get applicants all the time from LinkedIn, all those that have zero qualifications for what they're looking for. So they're having to search through hundreds of applications of non-qualified people. Whereas if you post with us, which is a third, if not more, of the cost than what you'd pay for a ZipRecruiter or LinkedIn, you're getting maybe fewer applicants, but all of them are qualified. All of them are familiar with the
exactly.
HCM.
Quality yeah. over quantity.
Exactly. That's what we preach.
So let's say I'm a biomed looking for a job.
Yep.
Just give me a quick run through of like going on the website, going through the process of, you know, using HTM Jobs.
Yeah. So you'll go to htmjobs.com. It's completely free to register. Really simple. Just your name, email, a little bit of background information, resume. Completely confidential. So only Kristen and I who work for HTM Jobs will see your information. You get registered to the site, then you can browse all of our listings. You can search by keywords, whether you're looking for director positions, entry-level internships, anything like that. You can search by state. Then you click, there's an easy online application, or it'll directly send you to the external URL to apply on the company's website. You submit your application. I look at it. I directly contact our contact at the company, so you kind of miss out on the weeks of waiting around to see where your application is. I send it to them, they reach out to you, and the process gets started and they handle the interview.
So at the end of the day, we're looking for a job. Is unfortunately, a lot of biomeds got laid off over the past years because of COVID.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to wait around weeks on end wondering if they even are going to get an interview.
Yep.
So streamlining that process, making it easier for them to get looks, get the opportunity. I appreciate what y'all are doing for the industry with that aspect because I'm kind of tired of LinkedIn.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I mean, I use it for networking and everything, but when it comes to job searching, it's abysmal.
Yeah, exactly. And Chris and I are human beings, which I think is a really interesting.
And you're good human beings.
And we are good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And it's us helping you. We know you as a candidate. We know the employers personally. We're not some chat bot that you're never going to hear from. So.
Yeah, the letter that you receive saying, we have decided not to go with you. By the way, this is an automated message. Don't worry about emailing back. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and a lot of times when you submit your applications, it's like an algorithm that sorts through it. So it's like very, it's not a personal process where that's what we can add.
Are there any standards that you hold the companies to uphold that are posting jobs with you guys?
That's a really good question. So all of the positions and all the companies that come and list with us, they're typically at these shows. We've known them in the industry. They could be small, they could be big. We only post HTM positions, like we've said. So that's really our only criteria. We're not going to post positions where they're not.
Because I could think of two right now on top of my head.
Okay.
One being one of my other gripes with LinkedIn or any, let's just say monster.com or something, ZipRecruiter, whatever. You'll go to a biomed posting and they do not show what the salary is. It's frustrating because, like I said, biomeds, their retention has always been a thing. we shift back and forth trying to do the best that we can for our career. And not having access to at least the minimum dollar amount of what this job might bring. I mean, you could go, I've gone through interview processes before and come to find out it's nowhere near close to what I'm getting paid when I'm looking for something ahead of that. And I'm sure that's, I've been told from other biomeds, that's the same case everywhere. But I'm saying, like, that's something that biomeds would appreciate. Usually it's biomed directors or hospitals that are posting these ISO companies. Like, we have to step out of the space and look at, like, how can we, you know, make this easier for HTMs to make a splash into their next job. Posting what the minimum of what they could expect to possibly get is just a start. I lost my train of thought on the second thing.
It's okay. But we're going to say that because we do both sides, because we work with the candidates, because we work with employers as well, we hear your frustrations and we communicate that with the employers. So they're posting jobs they equally, if not are more frustrated because they can't fill them. It's a candidate market. You have your
catch 22.
Exactly. So what we do, they always say, what can I do to make our job listing more attractive? Like, how descriptive do we need to be? All of these things. Salary is definitely one of those things that we've had to fight hard to get them to add, but more companies are adding.
And I thought of my second thing.
Let's hear it.
So let's say you apply for a job.
Okay.
And you go through the entire process. You think you got it or you think you don't got it, whatever. And you get told, we're sorry, we did not select you for this position at this time.
Yep.
And then that's it. Something that's really useful to an HTM is knowing why they did not get selected.
Yes.
So I've been passed up for, let's say, a director role in the past. I found out, well, you don't have a bachelor's degree. I went and got my bachelor's degree. You don't have the experience necessary. We want someone that's been doing this for 5, 10, 15 years, whatever. Something as simple as giving at least a couple bullet points to the person that made the time to apply for your company to know why you did not select them. So that way they can go back, improve their resume, improve their credentials, and go at it again. A lot of companies don't do that. You just get an automated message or a letter saying, sorry, thank you for applying. Try again next time.
Which is where I think we have a lot of added value to the job search because, again, we are the middleman and we want the feedback for you that we want to hear from employers. So we flat out ask them, you know, if we could get any feedback on this candidate because, again, at the end of the day, a rejection isn't the best feeling in the world. But to be able to move forward and
exactly
find your next dream job, you need to be able to know what to improve on. So we ask for you so you don't have to worry about it.
Preaching to the choir.
Exactly.
So in other words, go to HTM Jobs for all your job search needs.
Of course. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Hello. Hello.
Hi, Bearded Biomed.
I'm walking around with the little microphone. So
hi.
Now, you hear Megan. You haven't heard the episode yet, but she's coming to an ear near you.
Yes. We're maybe July.
Yeah, I'll probably be end of June, beginning of July, somewhere I think your episode will be dropping.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about our and about ICE and
get MD.
Yes.
So just curious, are we going to have a YP at MD here at AMI this year?
We're not. We're going to have one at MD Expo in SoCal, in Temecula.
Hopefully we can get some YP in AMI sometime.
We need to have some YP
in AMI. Look at all these young people.
So many young people. I know. I just saw some over at the booth over here, and I was like, we need to get them for YP.
The lady, the myth, the legend.
Oh, trouble.
I'm with Jamie from MD Publishing.
Oh, I love this. All right.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm soaking all this up, just walking around and scaring people with my little fuzzy mic.
But it's a lot, isn't it? I remember this is your first AMI that you've attended.
Yeah.
So lots of booths, lots of networking. It's a good time.
Yeah. Handing people buttons.
Yes, that's good.
Stickers.
I had my sticker yesterday. I don't even have my badge on at this point.
Did I give you a button yet?
No, I don't have a button. I had my
You get
sticker.
A big button.
Good deal. I love that. Here, I'll wear it proudly. What have we learned at AMI so far for the podcast community?
Oh, that I need to meet more people.
Oh, that's good. Well, this is the place to do it.
That yeah, there's some interesting services out here that, you know, obviously any HTM could benefit from, whether it be education, maybe a service that your company doesn't cover, but you want to make sure your customer base can have that need met.
Yeah.
Of course, learning about all the things you guys are doing with Tech Nation, HTM Jobs, MedWrench, ICE Magazine.
so much.
OR today. I mean, y'all are everywhere.
It is. It keeps us busy, but it's a labor of passion. We really enjoy it. And I hope that comes across in everything that we do, that we're always having fun and we want to be as inclusive as possible, because to us, Technician is more than a magazine and our readership. It is our community that we like to foster for the biomeds. Come to our shows, read our magazines, participate in our webinar. All of it is complimentary, and that's by design. We want to give you the education. We want to give you the networking opportunities. We want you to have fun while you're doing it and not have to come out of your pocket to get the education that you need.
Well, just think of it from like the ACI perspective. I mean, it's something that we all have to do to make sure that we keep our certification that we so diligently paid for, studied for, and put the time in for. Nobody wants death by PowerPoint.
No, you do not.
You guys are doing webinars. You're doing, you know, different avenues to meet the educational perspective, but doing it in a fun way.
Exactly.
I've been fortunate enough to be a part of your webinar Wednesday.
Yes.
I've done the magazine. I've done all of it to this point. Y'all have it. You're doing the right thing.
I appreciate that. That means a lot.
I mean, obviously, y'all have all the subscribers and listeners and watchers. I mean, that speaks fortitude.
It does. And I think you touched on something. It's education in several different ways. Do you want that face-to-face interaction? Then you come to MD Expo. We have it every April. We have it every October.
Which y'all give credit for, too.
Exactly. There's CE credits for attending, typically somewhere between 6 to 10, depending on our education lineup for that conference. Then if you need something quickly and you're up for recertification and you're short, then Webinar Wednesday is a place that you're going
to hear. TechNation Podcast.
TechNation Podcast. Also, webinarwednesday.live. You'll find all of those resources there. Again, it's free. And I can typically tell when a biomed's up for registration because I'll watch you binge watch all of the webinars.
It'll probably be me. Watch. Now that I got one.
That's good because you can print your certificate right from your desktop.
Yeah.
So it's convenient and easy. And of course, I think something a lot of people don't know is if you present a webinar, there's additional CE credits that you can get. And if you write an article in the magazine, our Biomed 101 and a couple of other editorial features are typically submitted from the industry, and that's biomeds who are looking to get their CE credits.
So it also helps the biomed to volunteer, you know, to speak and be involved in this stuff too, which I tell people all the time, get involved with your education, get involved to outreach, networking, because it's doing you... There's going to be biomeds that are in our community that just want to be introvert, do their 9-to-5, make their difference, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's going to benefit you and also your community in the long run.
Yes. I will say that the contacts and the networking that you can do at AME Exchange, at MD Expo, at some of the state associations when they have their annual symposium, that's going to serve you far better when you have an immediate pain point or you're looking for some advice, or you need a manual or some direction on a PM that you're working on, then you've got those contacts that you can back up.
That's why I tell people, you know, if you don't want to get involved in all the grand big stuff, find a local biomed society.
Yeah.
I always tell people, I think the last episode I did, I mentioned biomed societies aren't for having a pizza party and just talking to each other.
No,
it's networking. It's problem solving. I mean, you can get any kind of solution almost pinpoint knocked out, you know, from your local, you know, colleagues around you, whether, hey, I need this part, I can't find anywhere. And you never know, that person might have it on their, you know, shop desk somewhere.
Exactly.
Something as simple as that, which helps you deliver better care for your patients.
It is.
That's what it's all about.
It's that peer-to-peer networking that you're able to do. So I am just like you, Chase. I'm going to encourage everybody to step out of your comfort zone, step out of the biomed department, come to one of these conferences, either the bigger conferences that are on a national scale or the local ones, the state associations, and just take that first step. One of the things that I love most, I know you talked to Megan a little earlier, but MD Expo is taking it a step further and doing this YP group. So the young professional is you'll have a face that you recognize in the crowd, and you'll have a confidant that
there's a group of some of us young guns walking around saying hi to each other.
Together. You're
A couple of the people that I met at MD Expo in Atlanta, we've already walked up like, hey, yeah.
It is. It's a fun little society that you're forming on your own. And as y'all grow and stop to be YPs and you move over to be an old P like I am, you're still going to have this fun network that, that you've grown up with.
By then, I probably won't want to talk to anybody because I'll be talked out. But
something tells me your personality, you're not going to be talked out.
We'll see what happens. So I'm going to give you the mic. If you could tell the listeners a little bit about what you guys are doing.
Sure, I'll be more than happy to. Well, we're excited to announce that we have an online biomed school. Start off with a certificate program. We have the associate's degree. And now we're happy to announce we just got our bachelor's degree approved. It's a four-year HCM degree. It's 2 years because you already have the associate. It's called a 2-2-1. So you do your 2 years for the associate's, your 2 years for your bachelor's, and 1 year for your master's, all with one college. And we have a consortium of colleges that we work together with, and we use our faculty to train on the bachelor's degree.
See, I wish y'all had that back when I was coming up because it would have just been a way more convenient.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Well, that's why we're doing this, for the next generation.
Exactly.
Right? So we're really excited about this. In addition, we got VR training. So we're online school, and people consider online sometimes as a joke. Yeah, but now, since COVID, they see how important online is. And the VR is actual hands-on. You know, what's good about the VR, if you break apart, you don't cost your company any money. You just hit reset and start again.
So from the online component with the VR, are you saying, like, let's say we have a student that's obviously remote because you're doing online classes. They just hook up to their, I think y'all are using the Oculus system?
Oculus, yes. And the other thing, some people get dizzy with the Oculus, is older people probably like me. So it's their choice. They can do the VR or the 3D. They can't get to the next module or the next lesson until they get 100% on the first of the module that they're at. So either way, when they're done with it, they will know how to repair that equipment.
See, that's so incredible, though. You think of, you know, because I came up through the military school. So we had the equipment to do hands-on training.
State-of-the-art training with the military, yes, you did.
However, with the constraints that we currently have today, we don't have the plethora of schools available. We don't have, you know, the availability for every student to go out and do a hands-on in-class, you know, like what David Bronham's doing at his college program. I mean, you guys are facilitating a need to get more biomeds into the field, and it still is hands-on because it's virtual.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't have an Oculus yet, but that kind of just makes me want to get one.
Right.
Just to take a class and play with some virtual equipment. Like, to me, that's, I'm nerding out over it a little bit.
Right. No, it's really cool. And the other thing that we do is we customize. It's not just for the student. It's also for ISOs, OEMs.
If there's OEM process, level training.
Right. So if there's a process that they want that's a rare process that's done in the field and the engineer hadn't touched it in a while, they just go ahead and download that app or the program on the Oculus and get refreshed for 15, 20 minutes. And now they know how to replace a certain gadget that they haven't messed with in a while. And it's just like a refresher course.
What kind of OEMs modalities are we talking about for this?
Well, Siemens just approached us now and said, we want to know how we can work with you on this. So
that's awesome.
So we're working with OEMs. I'm trying to work with Medtronic right now. Space Labs, unfortunately, they're not here now, so we'll call them later. But at the same time, we're working with a lot of ISOs who want the same training for the equipment that they work on.
So down the line, we could even see this on, like, larger proprietary imaging equipment, maybe CT, MRI.
Yeah. That's the goal. Right now, we're in the infant stages. I'd say within the next 18 months, we'll have most of this already.
That's incredible.
Set up. So it took a long time to get to this point, but now that we're here, it's a snowball. It's going to go really fast.
For the level of training that the military provides, the military is not for everybody.
Right.
And to get that same level of training, that specialized hands-on approach, there's not a lot of people able to facilitate that because it does cost a lot of money to have all this equipment.
Right.
So you guys have really set yourself up as one of the key, if not the key, place to go to that's really funneling new biomeds and next generation into the field.
And I can't take all the credit for that. I owe a lot of that credit to the industry itself, the companies that work with us, that provide us the technology, the information that we need to put it together for the sake of hiring the new generation of biomeds coming up, the HCM professionals. And the more we work together, the better the education will be. It's not like we're going to hide education from you and hide it from you. We give the education to whoever needs it.
And I could see this as being almost not an end-all solution, but maybe a bridge gap for right to repair with relations for OEMs. Exactly. Because one of the arguments that you hear is that they don't have the training on par with what we provide as OEM.
Right.
Well, if you have OEMs coming to you guys to partner to facilitate virtual training,
right,
to essentially give, I would say, as accurate or more accurate with it being more in-depth, because virtual can sometimes showcase things that maybe just by looking at a glance through eyesight can't.
Well, that's a good point you bring up. I did speak with a few OEMs and specifically asked them about the right to repair in this modality with this education. And they were on board. They agreed with us. And they said they do modalities themselves.
Because I've had so many conversations when it came to right to repair with different people in the industry.
Right.
And we all came to the same conclusion. While we are on opposing sides, it's not doing us any good to be butting heads. We have to come to some kind of, you know, crossroads to where we can find some kind of solution that benefits everybody.
And I agree. And I think one of the solutions that we could do is get both sides together, not like bartering, but come up with standards that we both agree on. And then we all know what the standards are and what needs to be met.
And I think we're just kind of, I think everybody's just kind of stepping back and waiting and see what's going to happen with the Senate, with the bills going through. I'd mentioned this before. I feel like it's probably going to go, instead of the government officials figuring out what they want to do, put it off on the FDA to make the decision.
Right.
And once that happens and they come to a conclusion, set certain standards, then I think that's going to open up more room to talk because everybody will know where we stand.
Exactly.
Right now, it's kind of, you know, we're just standing and waiting.
Right. I still prefer to be proactive about
exactly
it, you know, because if we're not, then we're going to lose ground on the right to repair.
Well, by doing the grassroots approach, getting people active, doing, you know, each state putting forth a bill. New York Justin posted it yesterday. New York passed some kind of electronics right to repair bill. I mean, that's one cog, one step towards ultimately getting something nationwide. So y'all are setting us up for success with this, especially if OEMs are coming to you on the table to facilitate that need.
It's all about cost and savings. Education is a cost center for OEMs. We were able to show them how they can save a tremendous amount of money, reduce their windshield time, their training time when they hire a new FTE versus going through their program and ours. So when they're through our program, they've already been trained.
Well, because that's a big thing that scares them too, is if they release, you know, right to repair, if we as ISOs or in-house biomeds have the ability to effectively repair their proprietary device, they're going to lose money because they're not doing it anymore. They don't make the money by doing the PM contracts. They get the money by the repairs, the parts.
Right.
So if we can at least, by you doing this, cut out all these other facets of what it costs to educate their technicians, where we're recouping their money in a different way, but it's in a way that benefits the industry as a whole.
It's a paradigm shift the way they
do
it right now. And that's our goal.
It's a good angle to come at it.
Right. Because when I first started the online school, they didn't see the vision. I saw it 5 years ago, but I wasn't upset. It's just the paradigm shift that made them see you can learn a different way. It doesn't have to be the traditional way. We're in a never-changing technology world. What I'm teaching today is obsolete in 3 years, so we always have to stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
You know, and the only way we can do that is through communication and sharing information.
That's a good way to end it all, man.
I agree, man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate
great
it.
Stuff, man. Thanks.
Justin talking. Here's your mic, sir.
Oh, wow. Hey guys, this is Justin from the Better Biomed YouTube channel, and it just happens that Chase caught me, and you know, here I am talking about some of the cool tech, because that's what I do. Yeah, yeah. Oh, did you catch the Steris trucks?
Yes, I did.
So this is absolutely amazing. Take a look. So they fit two entire different mock-ups for sterile processing centers in semi-trucks, and I asked them yesterday, where's your steam plant? Where is it? I see maybe a generator back here at the rear of the truck, but holy cow. It's very good that they did a mock-up like this because it gives you a realistic view of what's going on in the truck instead of just saying, hey, we have these trucks. So this is absolutely amazing. I caught this as they're setting it up, of course.
Oh, it's incredible what you can really fit inside a truck trailer now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, thought it was so incredible having MRI, CT units
right
in these.
Now they're putting a cath lab. there's a cath lab, a full cath lab that's in a truck. But yeah, now we got sterile processing. That's insane. Just the steam and the electrical requirements alone, I would think would be prohibitive. But somehow they managed it. You know, you got high voltage in there. You've got steam, central steam.
You know what I like about it too? It actually mimics the whole process.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's go take a look at some other cool tech. We got so much cool stuff. Because I've been nerding out on some of the stuff that we see here, I was just going to share that. And then he handed me the microphone. So let's walk and talk. Let's do this.
Who's so, Justin to turn down a microphone?
So you would be actually very surprised. Some of the stuff, it's not very intuitive when you walk by it of what it does. But when you stop for a moment and take a look, it will baffle you. Right here, what do you think it does? Just from your first impression, what do you think it does?
Utilize UV light.
Thank you. That's exactly what I thought. It's very quiet. It's got a fan. Imagine a plasma sterilizer and imagine a UV sterilizer and imagine something that's better than both of them. That's basically what you're getting.
He's got so many different pieces of accessories and equipment inside this thing. He just handed me an absolute.
And you know, only some of these. Obviously, this one here has optics. This one here has measuring sensors. That one there is a battery. None of this stuff should belong in a plasma sterilizer, all right? So we got rubber products. So we know it's not really caustic. We know that it doesn't damage rubber products. We know that it's something that can handle irregular surfaces because look at the complexity of all the stuff that's stacked up in here.
Yeah, we have...
And I mean, you have a lot of room.
We have paper, printing. Yeah, and we can stack things up all the way.
So look at the examples over there. You can see that they got N95 masks as part of their demo.
We did some testing with 3M. Actually, yeah, we did testing.
See, that's already a cost saver right there because we all remember the point in time
the cluster.
Where everybody was having so much difficulty getting an N95.
And this can process them 20 times in a row without degradation of any materials.
Obviously, you have stuff in there, like Justin said, that shouldn't be in something like this.
That's exactly right. And so it takes a acid and it atomizes it with basically a nebulizer.
Yes.
And it fogs the entire chamber with this acid, which has a very short life. But it's only, 1 minute contact time is required for total sanitation.
Yeah, we use G-Sterile Thermopolis. Geobacillus Thermophilus. Sorry, I'm not a chemist or a biologist, but it is a product sold by Mesa Labs. It's commercial grade sterilization qualifier. This is like the spec sheet. This is
basically it. Now, there is no way if this was hydrogen peroxide, like a plasma sterilizer, there's no way this bottle would be sitting here because this would eat my hand. I couldn't make it to a sink fast enough before I'd lose my skin.
Curious of the amount of
look at this.
Time it took to develop something like this.
Of years, but you know, it's kind of like I started this company late 2017. We incorporated early 2018.
That's still pretty quick, though.
And we're spending a lot of investment money trying to get these things out to the market. So this is the coming out party. This is the first product. We have all kinds of form factor changes for 510K approval. Devices in the more regulated
space. So is this your flagship model? Do you have different ones or is this
just is the similar? Only one right now, but okay. but the same method is going to be it's the same technology in all of the forms that we choose, whether it's this size or a whole room. So this is okay, like you place your items in here.
So by the way, at the moment he's placing an apple in the chamber.
One for my friend here.
All right. Two apples.
So that's it. And it closed the chamber door. Hit start in
5 minutes.
Like 5 minutes. So this is the countdown timer here. We have minutes.
Look at how fast it atomizes.
That's pretty
it's
awesome.
Silent. Actually, ultrasonic action is a silent procedure. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So this can be on the floor. It's designed to go in ICUs, CCUs, ERs, labor and delivery. So that they can affect all the items that normally need to be wiped down and then immediately placed back into service.
So the reason I wanted you to check this guy out is because plasma sterilizers require caustic chemicals. It requires high voltage electricity because you have to draw a vacuum, and in order to energize the RF shield and create plasma. And plasma actually destroys a lot of products. And I can, there's tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage. This is absolutely amazing. So it is, the chamber currently is an entire fog, and it will, here's the best part. It recycles the material that's inside it using a Peltier device. So it will suck it back in where it goes across the Peltier, where it condensates, and it goes then through carbon fiber, and the carbon fiber will neutralize some of the other acid products, and then it goes back in for recycle so that you can use it. So you said that you can get about 5 days worth of use out of one fill?
Well, it's 20 cycles per bottle.
Okay.
Okay, well, still cut down on time of sterilization. Plus,
for sure. Also,
it doesn't reuse the acid.
Right.
But your impact of waste ratio is still, that's impressive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The only condensation that you have then transfers from the hot to the cold. And when that happens, it evaporates out into the atmosphere. So it's already broken down. There's no chemistry.
So it plugs into any standard 15 amp outlet, and you can run multiple devices on the same circuit. So you don't even have to worry about heating elements or anything like that.
But,
right, right, exactly.
I can run four of these off.
How crazy is that?
Nice.
So he was walking around, and he said, he asked me what's some of the cool stuff here. I said, let's go take a walk. Let's go see. It's all good, man.
No, this is incredible. Is this on the market right now, available for purchase?
Well, yes and no. I will. I'm building more. I just opened up a new manufacturing facility in Fort Pierce, Florida.
American made, I like it.
It is. It's American design, American made. All the technology. We have the patent. The patent was issued in November 1st, 2021.
Nice.
So we own the technology. We've covered North America, South America, UK, Europe, Australia, and we're going to go heavy into the 510K market after this product. After we introduce this to the hospitals, we'll start development on the 510K process.
Okay. And of course, the question everybody wants to know, because all hospitals ever care about is budget. What's going to be retail for this unit?
For this unit, we're looking at a retail list price of $25,000.
Okay.
We are going to heavily discount it, obviously, especially first in users and buyers.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to incentivize them with point of service contracts for 5 years. We will warranty all of the ultrasonic components because it has two transducers for every elaborate drive to generate particle size. But we're going to warranty that for life.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, we're biomeds.
Yeah.
So do you foresee any kind of training for servicing?
Absolutely.
These in the future?
Want them to come down to Fort Pierce, Florida to our lab in January and get trained.
See, that's a manufacturer I can get behind.
Yeah, exactly. I completely support it as well. Yeah. It's amazing.
And we are going to support it. Now, this was designed by a service engineer. So there's four screws inside there. This light unplugs and this comes off. If all else fails.
So there's some other ultrasonic cleaners and stuff out there to where you have to spend so much time disassembling it just to get into the nebulizer component.
Right, right.
This is something I'm passionate about. So this is the design that we're going to be building next 10.
Okay.
I've got five of these units that are spoken for. These are the next 10 that are being built. And as you'll see, there is the ultrasonic generator, this module. There's four bolts that hold on to it and they're looking at you. This is the liquid module. There's four bolts holding it on.
This whole thing runs off a DC power supply?
I have two power supplies. Those are the power supplies for the high voltage, high current.
Okay.
So I have a 200 plus volt supply for the ultrasound. I have a 75 amp capability. Everything in here is way double, triple, overrated.
Yeah, I'd say.
It will not break.
Wow.
And our cycle is complete.
So
popcorn is ready.
It changes the color of the light, and there's an identifier on the front. So here's a question for you. Are you going to develop a possibility to strip print showing your Stericycle count and, you know, that it was completed successfully.
Yes, and that's going to go on a little sidecar. We're going to make those available. They'll probably be wireless Bluetooth.
There. Right. That'd be good.
We want to work with, we don't have it set up now because we don't have a particular equipment inventory software that we've developed or worked with, but okay. we're willing to work with Hems, Ames, et al., whoever the company is, capture that information on those inventoried items, and then they can print out time, date, and then they'll have the pre-clean items here and the bag them and tag them right below.
Nice.
Seems like you got it all buttoned up, sir.
Yeah.
Like the thing. We're going to roll these out to the there's a university in Florida that offered a couple of these. We're in conversations with a couple hospitals that are local. We're going to get them out to those shops. We're going to build 10 more of them.
So, so obviously, I want to get the word out for this. Yeah. Jessa wants to get the word out for this. Just give us a little, where can people go to get more information on this, reach out to you?
We're going to place some of this information on our website right now. Now that our patent has been fully approved, we can start sharing some of these. It's basically going to be just contact us directly. And
it's already gone through all the FDA.
No, it hasn't gone through the FDA. We are FDA registered.
Okay.
The chemistry is EPA approved. So
thank you very much.
On low.
That's RESTEC Life Sciences. That's RESTEC LifeSciences.com.
Okay. Last question that pops in my mind.
Sure.
What would be like the PM procedures for this, for instance, for a
Well, they would do a PM annually.
Would it just be functional, or do y'all have like an actual checklist?
Well, we'll give you a functional checklist. Okay. Yeah. Filters are replaceable, but no tools are necessary. And it can
all operator. Right. I was wondering
so
what that was.
So they can replace those filters at their convenience whenever the lights up.
Okay, so it lets you know, hey, these filters need to be replaced. Okay, no guessing.
There are several utilities in
here. Oh, wow, look at that.
That we can share with people, like this temperature of the Peltier, fan speeds, everything is monitored in this. So it will, it's going to be sophisticated at least at a certain level. And like I said, it's if they ever have a problem with the ultrasonic generator, we can send one out. It's easily replaced by, you know, anybody with some tools.
I mean, you showed me the diagram. This operator could do it. I mean, it's probably going to be a biomed doing it.
Yeah. It's got to be someone that can
You checked all the boxes. Usually what I look for when, you know, manufacturers put something out.
Right.
Same.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to seeing more of these out on the market, man. I love innovation.
Right.
I love innovation that makes sense.
This is an American design made item. Right here.
You heard it here on the Bearded Biomed podcast.
That's right, guys.
I give the RESTEC Bearded seal of approval.
Good.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. I'm glad you showed me this.
Yeah, man.
Where do you see your channel going here in the future?
Oh, man.
You're about to hit 8,000.
Yeah. Probably today or tomorrow. Yeah. So that's very unexpected. Well, so here's the thing. I was thinking of just doing it as a hobby, but now I guess I have to consider maybe doing it as a business. And the reason I have to is because there's incurred costs, you know, and you know, companies are asking if they can use my videos and stuff. And that's all stuff I really wasn't expecting. None of it. But at the same time, you know, if it is a business, if somebody's using one of my products or something as for profit, then even if I did generate some sort of revenue from that, I usually try to put that revenue back into the company, right? So it would only allow me to increase my production quality, maybe.
Better for the listeners.
That's right. That's right. So I would invest more time into, you know, what I do. Because right now it was just a hobby. But now I'm actually seeing the real impacts from it. I mean, I was not expecting the reception for social media, you know, like the stuff that we do. The fact that I actually heard somebody talk about seeing a product and they seen it on my channel to the person that was selling the product here at the show. And I was just standing back, you know, they didn't even know I was there. But I heard them say that they seen it on a YouTube video, and I was like, all right, because that was probably my YouTube video. But it's stuff like that, you know. So we do have an impact on the career field and on the industry. It's just the industry doesn't completely understand how to use that yet. So eventually they're going to realize that we do have a voice. And
I think, too, it's still kind of in its adolescence because
I've
been approached by companies and, you know, I have to kind of – I don't want to just throw everything out there. Our listeners, they are biomeds.
Right. That's right. But,
you know, also we want to get other people in, you know, clinicians, maybe manufacturers wanted to come in, watch, listen to us.
Right.
But, you know, we got to make them understand to the point to where the value we bring. And I've kind of learned that over the past month or so going to these conferences and expos and such, because I was like you, I started this as a hobby. I do this on my own free time. Mm-hmm. I haven't made a dollar to this day. It's been me putting my money out there just to build awareness. And that's why I took this LLC, because I got to pay some expenses.
Right. Man. Right. And that's definitely true. Cause even going to a conference, people don't consider travel costs, hotels. I mean, right. even going out to eat and stuff, you know, but the fact of the matter is the industry is definitely waking up to the fact that, we do have an effect on their customer base. And as they see that, they're going to give us more credence, and, we're not going to be the black sheep that we are right now, which, you know, it's okay being the black sheep because, you know, we are objective. Behind me is a product that, I asked to do a video on, and, they said that they didn't want me bashing their product. I was like, I haven't even said anything about your product yet, but they only want a good thing said about their product. And I'll tell you, here's the thing about being in any sort of media or social media is that opinions go two ways. If a product's good, we're going to be honest about it, right? And if a product's bad or it could use improvement, show me a product that doesn't need improvement. I haven't seen one yet. So every product uses improvement. And if I am a potential buyer and I say, I wish it had this feature or that feature, that's my opinion, man.
You've came across that already just because you've been doing this so long.
Yeah.
Maybe I've kind of had the leniency to kind of just not even consider talking about something because I just don't like it.
Okay. Yeah. And that's true. And I have a product at my house currently, a very expensive product that somebody shipped to me for a review. And I started recording. I got in about 15 minutes and I had to shut it off because I didn't want to drag them through the mud because it could use some polishing. But the thing is I want to talk to the design engineers and stuff first before I finish that video, right? Because we're about just building people up. So it's people and products. We want to make them better. It's not to trash a company. None of this. You know, whenever we're being critical of somebody or something, it's because we want them to be better. It's not because we want to tear anybody down.
Someone said to me, and I've been holding on to it, it's, you know, people are afraid of conflict. Conflict's not a bad thing. Conflict pretty much, you know, creates conversation. It creates growth, understanding, if people do it correctly.
I agree completely.
But, you know, a lot of people within this industry, if there is conflict, they go one way or go the other. They don't meet in the middle. And that's kind of why we have so many issues that we're constantly tackling, talking about every single conference, every single expo, theory, not application. You can't cross the bridge between theory and application if you're not having that discussion, that conflicting discussion.
Now, that's so here's the thing to build on that, and which is why we are the black sheep. And we are going to be the black sheep until certain people either open their eyes or they remove themselves from power. And the reason being is because in the medical industry, there's certain people that have always had a voice and they controlled the industry. Now they're realizing some other people, some yahoos like me and you, we suddenly have a voice that we didn't have before. Somebody could release a poor product and they wouldn't be criticized openly, publicly about, you know, their lacking. But now if somebody makes a poor product or they lack in research and development, you know, they just fall short. Now we can criticize them openly because
they package something that's basically the same product.
Right. Years later, right. And the thing is like criticism, like you just said, is a good thing. They should use that instead of putting up a barrier. They should accept the fact that products can be better. And we're just here to help. That's all it is. I mean, I
honestly, it does us better to be more positive with everything than negative. But where is that taking the industry?
We
like you said, calling out something that could be improved upon. If they do it, it makes the industry better.
I completely agree. It's true. And certain entities have always wanted to, you know, be the voice. But we are now in the day and age of social media and alternative media, which we fall into squarely, where we have a lot of viewers and listeners all around the world, and they will write us and tell us their opinions on things. And we are kind of like representatives, because if somebody says they have this problem or that problem with a product, well, we have a direct line usually to some of these design engineers, and we can actually refer those concerns to the people that really can impact the product. And so we act as a representative.
You know, available service for something that someone might not have the capability in another country, for instance.
That's right.
To be able to get a hold of somebody to get that help.
That's right.
I mean, I get reached out to several times, like, I have no clue where to get the service edge. I have no clue how to enter the U.S. workforce. I have no idea what I need to do to move up in my career. I have no idea what to do with this particular product because I cannot get any kind of support from a manufacturer.
Right. And I just had that call yesterday about a certain product. Until I talked to the company themselves, I'm not going to reveal what product that is. But the fact of the matter is, they said that there's a certain anesthesia product line where there was little to no support, or the product, the consumables that they were getting were in a poorer quality than what they expected. And because of that, they don't want to deal with that company anymore. Well, this isn't the 1990s anymore. We can now reach out to that company and offer them positive criticism. And you know, if one person has these concerns, then other people probably do too.
Yeah. The days of having a myopic view of thinking we're the only ones having the same problem. I mean, even the seniors in our field will say, you know, believe it or not, most people have done this or have gone through it, or, you know, that's the whole point of having a community built for the HTM, biomed, whatever the hell we want to call ourselves.
Right, right.
I came in as a biomed. I'm a biomed. I'm a B-med.
Right.
I know you have your views on that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I'm not as polarized as maybe I come off on video, but the fact of the matter is I don't foresee, like, you know, somebody with a particular moniker coming in at 2 o'clock to solve your problems, but I assure you a biomed will. So, but that's a whole other topic in general. But I can tell you one of the things that we've experienced from the show is everybody is super energetic. There's a lot of positivity here. There's definitely a lot of networking. I've seen tens of thousands of dollars worth of business deals closing, you know, just because of people talking to people. You know, I find out somebody's...
I'm sure you for the show as well. I got several people that want to come on the show and talk about stuff.
Oh, so, yeah, yeah. Like, I would have so many videos if I started writing stuff down and I had to stop because I've already got half a year's worth of material. Probably just from what we've experienced here. So
no, I'm excited for really between, I mean, we kind of have like a little ecosystem now. We got multiple podcasts. We got your channel. We got Biomed Girls channel. I mean, imagine where this is going to be.
Well, that's why I want more people to get involved with social media and podcasts and YouTube, because we want to dilute the opinions out there. All right. Like you said, the more people that are willing to start a conversation about something, the better we're going to be in the end anyway. I only see things through my eyes. And, you know, that's the fault that we all have. But if other people have other life experiences or something that can contribute, then let's do this. Let's talk about it.
And I'm going to need your help for YouTube eventually, because I keep getting asked, do you do video podcasts? No, I guess I can. So what people don't realize is the post-production aspect of what we do.
Yeah, it's
more so.
It can be a lot of work.
Audio editing, video editing. This is hours and hours of our time that we're doing from our own volition.
Yeah, people think that you just like upload, and it's like no. If you knew the amount of work that went in, and also thousands of dollars, you know, just like Adobe Premiere or something. I mean, look at the price tag on some of that.
Multiple subscriptions of programs I use. I mean, the season 2 just launched, and the first episode I did, I had 3 gentlemen on. Between our 4 voices in 1 hour, it took me over 4 hours to edit.
Oh, yes. To sync up all the audio clips and
take out all the
filter it. Oh,
double,
yeah.
Double extra words and pauses,
my gosh.
And people talking over each other.
I hate audio editing.
Interference, too much gain on a particular voice because they decided to yell at you in the middle of the podcast. People don't realize it, but, you know. Yeah, I guess I might have to start getting into the video part, but I want to make me like, I foresee like two couches or recliners maybe.
Yeah, you know, that would be cool.
Some plants like between two ferns almost.
That's what I was thinking when you're talking about it.
A neon bearded biomed sign in the back, and then just two mics, boom arms, and people sitting there somewhere. But that's down the line when I got space that I could rent out and bring people in, Joe Rogan style.
Yeah, yeah. I could foresee, you know, it really getting traction too, because, you know, first off, biomeds are just nerds. You know, there's no way around that. And it could be the stupidest thing, but as long as it's relevant to who they are, they'll watch it, they'll listen to it, and, you know, they'll learn from it, you know?
I had a 30-minute conversation with a guy I'd never met yesterday about video games.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome. I'm very jealous of your man space there.
Wife's been kind to me.
Yeah. I have a garage, and me and the dog are quite happy in the garage.
See, I married a gamer. So she has her own gamer too.
What? See, that's crazy. Yeah, no, I'm definitely not that. I wish because mine's like an office space. I got a nice rig and everything. It's just I usually use it for video editing. You know, this as our career goes further, like we just get more responsibility when we're at work, so I have less and less time. But you know, hopefully, you know, things progress. And maybe I could do more media type stuff instead of biomed, you know, that'd be nice. It's less stressful, that's for sure. I have much respect for you guys out there because biomeds, they're way more stressed than what people realize. You know, we get the blame when things go wrong. We get the stress when numbers aren't right. I mean, we're victims of politics. We're everything, man. Well, guys, I'm going to have to wrap this up because it looks like we're closing time, guys. All right. Well,
Justin,
thank you very much, man.
Show, man.
Bearded. Biomed.